Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
It is okay to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And one of the things that we can do to ourselves is beat ourselves up and have regrets and woulda, shoulda, coulda. But you know what? Today we're going to talk about the power of mistakes with the wonderful Dr. Johnny Lopes. He's the author of Reinvent Yourself, Essential Tools from a Brooklyn Psychiatrist Who Has Seen It All. Hi, Dr. Lopes.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're talking to the right gal. I've made a lot of mistakes. And I'm trying to see them as okay. Andrea, how about you?
I think we all make mistakes, so I think that's why I love this topic.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Lopes, let's talk about this.
Yeah, of course. I mean, in preparation for today, you know, I was just perusing the internet a little bit, and I was actually writing another article for another site, and they were asking me also to comment on the way we beat ourselves up and the way we, and, you know, they're interested that I'm pretty fascinated with people and curiosity and whatnot. I came across a great quote, and it was actually Voltaire, and he said that he respects those who ask better questions as opposed to those who have the great answers. And I thought there was something so brilliant in that because that natural curiosity to ask others of how they've persevered, how they overcome and work through their conflicts is what invariably allows us to grow. But before we can ask the right questions, we have to be making mistakes. We have to be vulnerable, putting ourselves out there, taking risks, and sort of trial and error, trying to make the behaviors and see if it works. And instead of just, you know, trying to repeat the same patterns and waiting for it to work itself out, being able to identify that there might be a mistake going on and be humble and be able to be curious and ask the right questions of other people and let them guide us so that we can make maybe a small change in the way we work through things so that whatever was initially a mistake, we're now inspired, we're looking to improve, and invariably we have better outcomes and more success.
So what are the kind of the mistakes we're talking about? Now, this could be anything from a large mistake to a small one. Is there a range in terms of, you know, the type of mistakes that we're making? I'd love you to expand a little bit on that.
Yeah, and you're correct. It could be a whole gamut of things. It could be from social interactions to whether we're managing conflict with our emotions, the way we make assumptions about the world. There's a lot of different ways that we might be able to make mistakes. Let's go, you know, one of my lighthearted anecdotes that I don't mind telling from the book is, you know, I grew up in a very sports enveloped family. My dad liked a lot of college football. And since I was a little not a risk taker with trying to enhance my social skills, I thought it would be great and proud going into my later teenage years, even my first year of college, sort of showing my admiration for my favorite sports teams. And here I am, my freshman year of college, wearing a bright Notre Dame sweatshirt with a Notre Dame matching sweatpants. And I am, unbeknownst to me, am I not getting dates for every weekend of my life in my first year of college? And I'm just confused. I'm frustrated. I just keep trying to, every day I'm like, don't you appreciate that I like the Chicago Bulls? Like, don't you like Michael Jordan? Like, how is this not sparking conversation? But it took a great friend, eventually who became a great friend, who brought me aside. He said, do you understand what is happening here? And I was like, no, tell me. And so he sort of identified for me that maybe this wasn't the fashion faux pas I was looking for. And he brought me into his closet, and that's the story I put on my first Tommy Hilfiger shirt of my life back in 98. And I realized he taught me a lot about fashion that day. But it's not as simple as making a mistake and turning it over to another person. There's a lot of complicated things that go into that transaction, which a lot of people don't realize. I had to be agreeable to let him teach me. I had to identify that this was maybe a marker of why I was challenged. And I had to be humbled that there was something I didn't know about in the world. And invariably, that's what, when we make mistakes, if we're humbled by it and then we're inspired to do better, we can allow so much of the world around us to inspire us to make better changes. And it invariably led to a lot more success, I would say, the next semester or two.
Well, we're happy to hear that. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth, because I was going to say, you know, for many of us, we might make mistakes, but unless we learn from our mistakes, I think that's where the real growth happens. And I know you touched a little bit on that, but I do think, you know, for many of us is learning not to repeat it, there's something in that, right?
Yeah. And then if, I mean, guys, if we're like 3 to 4 times trying a strategy and it's not being effective, at what point do we say maybe it's not within ourselves? Maybe this is not a scenario that we've come across and have the mind to identify where it's going awry. And I think we all have to get into the habit of taking a step back and saying, I think I've hit my wall about why I can't persevere through whatever X, Y, and Z. Let me go through my contacts, my friendships, my parents, my loved ones, a teacher, a mentor, the person behind the coffee shop, anybody, and try to identify who might be able to have maybe worked through something like this and be vulnerable, be humble, and ask. And, you know, my dad taught me a great saying when I was young, ask and you shall receive. And that you might find becomes a more of a fluid way back and forth quickly that can expedite us growing and raising that platform, as opposed to avoiding it, being anxious, then trying to deny it. And then more time goes by, 6 months, a year, 2 years, and invariably you're falling behind your peers in trying to master whatever is necessary for the success you're looking for.
You know, it's interesting. My mother used to always say, never be embarrassed to ask a question, that it's always really important because that's how you're going to learn. And I'd also love to jump into your book, Reinvent Yourself. So was that part of it for people who haven't read the book, was to be able to say, okay, I've made mistakes and I want to learn from them and I want to help other people, you know, take a larger approach to this?
Yeah, I mean, to me, a lot of this goes back to the basics. I find that invariably, entering my fifth year of being out of training and doing a lot of good work, I find that the book is the accumulation of the 11 skills that I find that somewhere along the way, it might have went awry for somebody, whether it's because they had a trauma, they didn't have a healthy childhood, nurturing parents, they had their own conditions that might have impacted their growth. And invariably, I want folks to look at the 11 chapters and say, hey, maybe along the lines, I didn't get the practice. No one brought this to my attention. There's something here that it's this tool that's impacting my growth. And what I thought would be unique in the book is then to, within each of those chapters, share a personal anecdote like I did with the fashion, so that the reader has a little chance to feel closer and connected to me as a clinician and say, oh, okay, this is a personalized story of what he's saying. Yes, that does happen to me. Let me read the book and then maybe also identify other folks around me who can continue to nurture me growing the skill.
You know, what about for those of us who, let's say we make a mistake, and generally we can be pretty hard on ourselves. Is that, what are some tips that people can do? So let's say we make a mistake. I mean, we're going to make mistakes. We're human. Yeah. That's how we learn. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are ways that we could do? Now, we don't have that much time, maybe, you know, about a minute. What are some tips that you can give our readers and our listeners in terms of handling that? So not being so hard on ourselves, or maybe some self-talk. Like, what are some tips that you have?
Exactly. And I think the answer is within developing a healthier, neutral inner voice. We need to recognize if our inner voice tends to lean negative, to identify that that's only probably precipitating and worsening the ability to be vulnerable, to continue to go forth making those mistakes. So I would say if that was a person who was entering my office, before we touched on mistakes, we would be working on the inner voice and saying, what is it about the inner voice that is so hostile? Learn to love ourselves. And once I can have the person recognize they do that, then to start giving them little homeworks and say, all right, go do X, Y, and Z, and try to coerce your inner voice to look at this narrative in a more neutral tone as opposed to being hostile, because being hostile and anxious with yourself, it prevents the growth and incorporation of that tool that you're trying to grow. So it's about loving ourselves and taking it one step at a time and trying to make more positive and neutralize that inner voice.
I think that's great advice. And unfortunately, we're out of time for today. We would love to have you back on, Dr. Lopps. We think you're awesome. And you can learn more about Dr. Lopps at his website, is drjohnnylopps.com, or on Twitter at drjohnnylopps. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.